Speaking with David Shoemaker, a.k.a. The Masked Man, on Deadspin.com, writes for wrestling for that website, as well as Grantland.com. And you write the Dead Wrestler of the Week. I guess you could call it the blog for Deadspin. And David, it sounds a little bit morbid, but as wrestling fans, we all know that's sort of the reality. And I guess that's the best place to start right now. Of course, Macho Man Randy Savage, the latest big-name wrestler to die, died in May in the car crash there. As far as Macho Man, where do you think he places in sort of wrestling history?
I think Macho Man, well, it's great to be here, by the way. I think Macho Man has a really interesting place in history, and it's one that I can't say that I was fully aware of until he died, sadly. He was, to me, of all the wrestlers of that kind of post-WrestleMania era, I mean, it is the WrestleMania era, but, you know, that kind of, that particular 90s time of wrestling, he ages better than I think anybody else. His persona was incredibly cutting edge for the time. And, I mean, especially when juxtaposed with Hulk Hogan, with whom he shared tons of screen time throughout his career. Hogan was always just sort of a cartoon character. And Macho Man was sort of weird, almost psychopathic level, even when he was a good guy. And I think that when I went back and started watching the tape, I was incredibly impressed. I always had a high estimation of him, but I think only in revisiting him and spending so much time watching him did I kind of realize that he's my favorite wrestler of that generation.
And you look at that generation, it seems like all the big heavyweight stars, it's all about size. Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, he wasn't the biggest guy, 6'2", 225. So, I mean, he definitely broke the mold for future guys like Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. So he was kind of a trendsetter in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, he was in a lot of ways about as small as you could be in that era and still be kind of a legitimate championship-level contender. But I think more importantly, he opened up the door style-wise for guys like Shawn Michaels and the people that came after that. I mean, you know, Hulk Hogan wasn't jumping off the top rope, and neither were most of the other people he feuded with through his heyday. Macho Man, at his core, was just a really, really great territorial wrestler. Whereas someone I think like Hogan, his skill wasn't apparent on the territorial level, but on, you know, national and international television and on pay-per-views, that's when you saw the magic of Hulk Hogan. I feel like Macho Man, especially when, I mean, if you go back on YouTube or whatever and watch him in all the various, the Mid-South and the CWA, I hope he was in fact in the Mid-South, I get that wrong, but you see the crazy interviews that he did, when he was feuding with Jerry the King Lawler, the ones I'm thinking in particular, and they're more heelish, I think, than he ever was in the WWF, but they're of a piece with what he did later. And I think he, in some ways, just became a more, a broader version of what he was doing before. He's a smaller guy. He has a much more of a non-traditional WWE moveset and the personality too. He was a cartoon character in his way, but there's just something much more vital about the way that he put himself over.
Yeah, definitely that is the case. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would list Macho Man as one of their favorite wrestlers. One of the reasons I want to bring you on, CM Punk, with this, I guess you could say, a planned work shoot promo from a couple of weeks ago on Raw. And I didn't see Raw that night because I don't follow wrestling as much as I used to. But Twitter was really blowing up about this promo that CM Punk cut on Raw. And I just want to get your thoughts about it. I mean, it seemed to be something that we haven't seen in a long, long time as far as wrestlers sort of breaking the fourth wall and dropping all this insider information. I mean, what did you think when you saw it?
Right. Well, I serendipitously sort of had written a pretty long piece about CM Punk in the week leading up to that. And it was only because, I mean, there were a number of reasons why I wrote about him, but I certainly didn't expect that to happen when I wrote about him. So as soon as that promo occurred, I was just kind of staring with my mouth open at the screen, as were, I'm sure, everybody else watching the show. Boss at Grantland, Bill Simmons, emailed me 5 minutes after the show ended and said, "We have to do something about this. I mean, this is huge," and he was absolutely right. That kind of work shoot promo just hasn't happened in a long time. There have been, you know, a couple of starts and fits in that direction, but never on the top level. Not in literally. I mean, 10 years or something like that. It seems like. I think it says a lot about the the current state of the WWE. And I'm not going to lament that state now. And I'm not as bad on it as a lot of the voices on the internet you'll hear. Certainly, the past 10 or 15 years, I mean, wrestling is unreal. I mean, it's a world of unreality. We all know this. And the Attitude Era sort of saw wrestling moving towards more tension between reality and unreality. This is, in the NWO and ECW and Stone Cold Steve Austin, they were all dealing with this sort of uncomfortable juxtaposition of what was real and what was totally scripted and what was the gray area in between.
Right.
The WWE in the past, 5 years or whatever, throughout most of what people would call the John Cena era, I don't think it's progressive or anything. It's just a different thing, and you wouldn't say it's like it's a further evolution of that, in that direction. So what CM Punk did was really remind us all why we loved wrestling so much in the Attitude Era. And I know that I use Attitude Era pretty broadly. It's the WWE's term, and it's not their creation. So I don't want to, mislead anyone to think that I think that they invented that, the work shoot or anything like that. But,
yeah.
But he really did just, I said in my follow-up piece on Grantland that it's sort of a new metamorphosis in his ongoing messianic characterization, where now he's sort of like the Messiah of the Attitude Era. It wasn't, in retrospect, an unplanned work shoot. It wasn't as much it wasn't a show going off the rails. It was a very deliberate reference to this bygone era, which you can see because he was wearing a Stone Cold Steve Austin t-shirt when he was cutting the promo. I posited that there was an ECW reference just the fact that he interrupted a tables match. We good?
Yeah. No. Sorry. I totally agree with you as far as CM Punk. I mean, I've never really been a big fan of his. I don't know why that is. I think I might do it out of spite because I think when he came on the scene, everybody's sort of like, oh, here's CM Punk. Here's this big sort of indie guy that's ready to take over. And like he mentioned in the promo that, he's not on all these billboards. He's not being thrust into the spotlight as much as guys like John Cena and Randy Orton. And I think after I saw that promo, he just drew me in. And I feel like I need to watch him more now. And that's something that you mentioned in your Grantland blog that you had recently.
Yeah, absolutely. He's very much the opposite of John Cena. I mean, there's no real other way to say it. I mean, he's not on the promotional materials, which is true, but it also goes back to his whole tenure in the WWE, and this is kind of inside baseball talk, but the guys backstage who are planning the show will say things like, he doesn't look like he could beat you up.
Right.
he's half the size of John Cena, that's indisputable. He's also not the sort of guy who parents want their kids to emulate just because of the tattoos and the scruffiness or whatever, despite the fact that he's the one living the clean lifestyle. I think it's a really interesting juxtaposition between him and Cena and other guys like Orton. He's everything that they're not, and you don't really, sometimes you might not realize what's lacking in Cena or Orton until you see something like CM Punk cut that promo and show you everything that's not. I mean, and just in the way that he was able to further a storyline just in, a 10-minute speech, in a way that nobody else can do, you realize how powerful a figure he can be in wrestling.
And I think, after that promo, he might have elevated himself in the eyes of a lot of WWE fans that didn't think he had this ability. You mentioned the Attitude Era, and that's sort of the wheelhouse that I grew up in. I was born in the mid-80s, and I had all these VHS tapes that my grandfather taped for me, so I got to see stuff in the mid to late 80s, and wrestling sort of had a lull in the early 90s there, but it really picked up between the mid-90s and then going into the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars with WCW. Where do you see the landscape of wrestling right now? I mean, they've sort of scaled it back to where it's a PG world now, so it's sort of a throwback to like the 80s. But it doesn't. I mean, maybe for me because I don't watch it as much anymore. But where's the popularity as far as wrestling goes right now?
With the fan base popularity?
Yeah, the fan base popularity.
It's an interesting place for them right now because they after the Monday Night Wars ended, they saw that their audience was getting older. I mean, it was basically the same people who were watching it. And the ratings have been pretty steady, but it's an audience that's not getting younger. So when they made the move to PG, ostensibly to try to kind of reset, it was a deliberate move to go back to the kind of 80s Hulk Hogan era and attract really young fans. So these would be the people to carry them through the next 15 or 20 years. Of course, you see this PG programming, and then all the commercials are for like just for men, beard darkness. So I would assume that the marketing department for just for men has a better grasp on the ages of the people watching the show than probably even does the WWE. So I mean, they wouldn't be wasting their money on it otherwise. But so the fan base I think is pretty split, and you can see this when John Cena wrestles. There's a younger demographic that's screaming, "Let's go Cena," and then immediately materializes a secondary voice with the other half of the audience is screaming, "Cena sucks."
Yes.
It's a very kind of divided, I think, audience, fan base right now. But hopefully, it seems like they've made the decision that the younger part of the audience is mature enough now to be introduced to some of these parts of, some of these attitude era contrivances. Because that's certainly what I think a lot of the bulk of the older audience is hoping for.
And it seems to be something that that they're bringing back. I mean, we saw The Rock come back to host WrestleMania. Bret Hart was on TV for like half a year last year when he came back. So it seems like they're trying to draw back some of the Stone Cold, with the Tough Enough. Yeah. So
definitely. I mean, these are the biggest. These stars are bigger than anybody in the WWE. Randy Orton, you could kind of inch up there, but I think that they are welcoming them back with open arms, and I think for that very reason, this is what is kind of uncontroversially the glory days of the WWE right now. I mean, these are the guys that can come back and lend sort of credence to what they're doing, whether or not. I mean, just because they're present doesn't mean that the product is better, but it certainly does rekindle a certain excitement that I think a lot of the audience has.
Speaking with David Shoemaker, a.k.a. The Masked Man, writes for Deadspin.com and Grantland.com. I'm Rob Wong. This is the Jeff Sammet Show. Just a couple more questions, David. As far, we talked about CM Punk and some of the other guys that are sort of running the show right now in WWE, but who are a couple of sort of up-and-coming guys that you would like to see get a further push?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I'm sure to get some stuff wrong. But there's a lot of guys in the developmentals that have come up. That have just been signed from Ring of Honor, which is the best breeding ground for talent right now. And so it remains to be seen how they translate out on the big screen. But that's definitely there. I mean, I think I'm on the record as being a fan of Christian, just like most of those guys, most internet wrestling writers seem to be.
Yeah, and especially up here in Canada, we want to see Christian get that push. So.
Well, he'll be up there soon.
Yeah,
I really cannot wait to see the crowd reaction to him and Orton squaring off. But he's not a spring chicken himself. There's a lot of young guys. I'm just trying to think of specific guys off the top of my head. Cody Rhodes is doing an incredible turn in the past 6 months or so on SmackDown.
Right.
As a guy who I was never particularly excited about before, has just kind of become this pretty boy Mick Foley sort of version of Mick Foley, which is really weird. The other guy that everybody on the internet message boards is crazy about is Zack Ryder, who's made himself, who's never on TV or never on, Raw, but he's made himself into an internet celebrity just from doing like funny YouTube videos and stuff like that. And there's some question, and he's a very, very talented in-ring worker. There's some question as to whether or not the WWE is scared to push him because of his internet popularity. But I think that kind of remains to be seen. They'll probably give him a shot. There's a lot of guys out there. I mean, like Ring of Honor, like I said, TNA has a lot of good young guys too. I mean, there's a lot of promise in wrestling right now. But the overall lowered ratings have left, I think, all the promoters, I mean, TNA and WWE in particular, scared about giving them too much time because of the uncertainty involved. And that's why you see guys like Stone Cold and The Rock coming back, and that's why you see guys like Hogan and Flair getting TV time in TNA. So, you know, hopefully that'll turn around, because CM Punk and Christian are both indicative of this. There's a generation of wrestlers now that came up as fans, and they're, by and large, they're not as big and they're not as, you know, heavily muscled as some of the guys that came before them, but because of that, the ones that make it onto the big stage are almost all just so much more gifted than the generation that came before them.
Yeah, that definitely seems to be the case there. We're going to take calls later in the show, but just two simple questions for you, David, just to finish off this interview. Who is your favorite wrestler of all time? I know that might be a tough question. And what is your favorite match of all time?
Oh, man. My favorite wrestler of all time has to be Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. Although, like I said, doing the research on Macho Man Randy Savage, kind of now I think they might be neck and neck. There's certainly a lot more to watch Macho Man's territorial stuff is some of my favorite stuff now, and Kurt Hennig's territorial stuff is a little bit, Minnesota, he's sort of a bland baby face for, I think, most of his time. But Mr. Perfect in the WWF was just, that was probably the first time there was a bad guy who I idolized with every bone in my body.
Yeah.
He was just really wonderful. My favorite match of all time, I don't know. I mean, there's some that are just, I mean, stick out that are kind of obvious choices. The famous Ric Flair, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat match was just really incredible. I mean, my most formative memories were probably, you know, Texas matches between the Freebirds and the Von Erichs. It just seemed like, I think I said this in an interview recently, it just seemed like, or on Twitter, nothing ever seemed more real than that.
Right.
And it was just, and I mean, there were a number of matches that those teams had that those factions had or whatever that still get to me in such a powerful way.